You are listening to the ForceCom Frontline, bringing you to our soldiers on the front lines of readiness.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the ForceCom Frontline. I'm your host, Jeannie, and today we've got a unique episode. First joining me as a guest host is our very own Colonel Kathleen Turner, our ForceCom Public Affairs Director, and thank you for joining me today, ma'am.
I'm excited to be here and really looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, me too. Now, you're here, one, because you know many of our guests today, and two, because this is a very special Women's History Month episode. So rather than our typical interview-like format, we're really going to have a conversation today with four women who are currently leaders in the Signal branch and all serving within units stationed here at Fort Liberty.
Great. So do you want to, I guess we're going to introduce the guests then, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So first we have with us in person in our studio, Brigadier General Marnie Sutton. She is our ForceCom G6. Also joining us virtually, we have Colonel Nicole Vinson from 18th Airborne Corps G6. Colonel Heather McAteer, the 35th Signal Brigade Commander, and all the way from Romania, secret location here, is Lieutenant Colonel Chrissy Antoine, the 82nd Airborne Division G6. So to get the conversation started, if each of you could just introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how long you've been in the Army, those types of things, whatever you are willing to share. And I think we'll start with, in the room, General Sutton.
Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate it. So I'm Marnie Sutton. I'm a dual military officer. My husband's an armor officer and currently deployed forward. And we have two kids. I've been in the Army about 28 years. Wow. And I'm an Army brat, so kind of from everywhere.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. I want to find out more about your Army brat status later in this conversation.
Awesome. Yep.
Who wants to go next?
All right, so Nicole Vinson, I have 26 years in the service. Spent most of my time here at Liberty with a couple trips overseas and then some other installations in CONUS. Was dual military, husband now retired. So he was infantry enlisted. So he did about 30 years. So that was always a joy. We have one daughter, Alexi, who is now in her freshman year of college. So we are officially empty nesters.
Congrats. Heather, do you want to go next?
Sure. Hi, y'all. Colonel Heather McAteer, also Army brat originally, but I claim Palm Bay, Florida as home where my dad retired. He was a career signal officer, uncle career signal officer, and my grandfather was in World War II as an infantry officer. So family business. I've been a tactical signalier for 21 years now, and I've been stationed all over the place, a lot of time in Germany, but happy to be back here to Fort Liberty. Not married, no kids, but have 10-week-old puppies, so I'm a dog mom.
I love puppies. Chrissy?
Hello, everyone. Chrissy Antoine. I am from Queens, New York, born in St. Lucia in the Caribbean. Moved to the U.S. when I was 10 years old with my mom, stepdad, and sister. They still live in Queens, New York. I've got about 24 years in the military. I started out enlisted in the Army Reserve as a signalier also, and then transitioned to active duty after completing ROTC. No kids and no pets. Just keep doing the Army life over the last 24 years.
Wow. So I know we have a couple of military brats in here. And so having that background, because I was a military brat as well, my husband is retired 5 years out now. So I get that as well. I was fully military spouse, not prior military. So just bear with me on that one. But as a military brat and going into the military, is this the career path you expected to be on? Or did your parents push you into any which way? Or was this a decision you kind of made on yourself? So, General Sutton, you want to answer that one first?
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting. I did not think I was going to join the military. And I think I went to college and my parents were overseas because my dad was still active at the time. And I think I missed the family environment that exists in the military. And so 4 years of college by myself stateside, I decided to try out ROTC. I'd figure I'd do it for 4 years. And then here we are 28 years later. Wow. But truth in lending, similar to Heather, relations with the, you know, the Signal Corps. I'm a third generation Signal Corps officer.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
And I was also born at Fort Eisenhower. So I don't think I had, there was no hope I was going to be a Signal officer. You know, like that was my future path. And so don't regret it for a minute, but I don't know that I expected to still be in after all these years.
Okay. And Heather, what was your experience? Was it very similar?
Oh, sure. Yeah, born in Landstuhl, Germany, when my dad was a company commander. So he debated back and forth whether or not I could still qualify for president and decided very quickly that doesn't matter if I was born abroad or not. That probably wasn't going to happen. But now, no pressure really to join the military. In fact, I think was surprised when I showed interest in high school, and because he was enlisted in OCS, he did encourage me to commission. So at 17, he signed me over to West Point, and I prayed every day if I was going to pass. But commissioned into the Signal Corps, and what's really cool is that it came full circle, and I got stationed back in Germany and commanded the same company that he commanded.
Oh wow, that's
when
amazing.
I was born. Yes, yeah, so it's been great support, and really have been excited about the decision.
I love those stories, and I'm a firm believer that the Army is a very, very small world. Some things come full circle like that. It's just impressive that you commanded the same company. That's very cool, and you see a lot of those experiences when you've been in the military world for so long. I think I'm going on about 23 years now, so I'm kind of up there with you guys being in that world. Public affairs is very small as well, so you know, I love seeing that you guys all know each other too. So do you want to talk about that, or do you want to talk about
it? Well, I mean, I think there's different connections, you know. So mm-hmm. I know General Sutton because we have mutual friends, and then we've kind of stayed connected. And I'm prior, you know, being dual military, and so we share some likelihood, like sagas or dramas or, right, you know, great wins type of a thing, you know, being moms and being dual military. So, but then Heather and I were deployed to Afghanistan together. So it's a... And then, you know, through these two, you know, badass women, you know, I met Nicole, you know, so it's just very kind of funny. And now we get introduced to Chrissy. And so it's just, it is a small army, and it's just a small circle that it's like, almost like the, you know, so many circles of Kevin Bacon.
Bacon, I was thinking the same thing.
Where you meet different people. And so I think if we were talking over wine or something else, and I think we'd find other connections as we would keep going or keep the conversation going. I do think, though, it'd be interesting, just because I know what my perspective or experience is with mentorship, because I don't think you can't have enough senior officers in a room and not have a discussion about mentorship. I think it's a really important topic. I think, like I said, everybody has different experiences with mentorship, being a mentee or being a mentor. So I'd really like for you to talk about how you see your role as a mentor with mentoring junior officers, if you could share some of those experiences. And also, I think, you know, talk about the importance of being a mentor, and you know, how you all kind of get after that, if you don't mind. So whoever wants to tackle it first.
I can start. So a little bit, since I'm I don't have a military family background. Part of my story is that my family, like most cultures, are very adamant about finishing college first. So I started college a little bit early. I was too young to sign up to the military on my own. So I ended up doing Army Reserve for a year, and then going back to school. While I was in the reserves, I was deployed in Kosovo with a military police battalion, and it was there, as Specialist Antoine, that I met a lieutenant. She was the battalion S6, and exposure to her kind of opened up the aperture. Okay, this is something that I can do. This is something that's attainable for me for my career, and seeing her competence, a little bit how she mentored me, kind of led me to, okay, this is what I want to do for my career, and then go back to ROTC and finish up. And then it would be another 16 years before I actually worked with another female, like directly as a Raider, senior Raider. But during that time, I've met so many phenomenal women along the way who've kind of taken the time to teach me about how they navigate the military and how they've pushed to attain their goals. And I think it's important, the exposure is important, because seeing what they've attained through things that sometimes are challenging or presented as unattainable, you're seeing them pursue those and attain those goals. And that exposure kind of helps you to kind of push your goalpost a little bit further, and in turn, turn present that to the junior soldiers coming up. So as they see you attaining the goals that you have, being the first female in the 82nd Airborne Division G6, it's like, okay, that's something I can do. Maybe not necessarily in this specific unit, but you know, that's a goal that I can reach that wasn't reachable before. And I know Colonel Vinson, her and I served together in 18th Airborne Corps. She was a major, as a captain at the time, and she's an example of someone that I saw, okay, she's, you know, working hard, you know, kicking ass as well, and that kind of, okay, I can get to the next point because she's doing it. And Colonel McAteer, I met when I transitioned over to Joint Special Operations Command, and she was departing to move on to bigger and better things as well. It's like, okay, I'm here now, but she's, you know, she was here doing what I was doing and was able to attain a goal past that. And then General Sutton, of course, I had the honor of working with her before I came into this job. And another one, it's you know, okay, female Brigadier General in the Signal Corps, and I have the privilege of having the access to her to understand how she operates, how she treats people that she works with, and then being able to adapt that to my style and pass that on to people as well. I think it's so important, the exposure, and it's just understanding, okay, you can push your goal post just a little bit further because you see the people that you work with that are doing it as well.
Absolutely. It sounds like you've had some pretty amazing role models with being able to work with all three of these amazing leaders. Now, have you, Chrissy, had the opportunity to mentor anyone specific under you to where you can pass on that knowledge and be a role model for a junior soldier under yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I've had the privilege of actually being sought out by junior females and male soldiers who either they've heard of me through people that we know, and they say, okay, she's the 82nd Airborne G6, so she's got, you know, at least knows, got something right, so you need to reach out to her right, and find out how she got to where she did. And what I do is, you know, there's no secret formula. I just pass on what I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, the lessons learned, what I've learned from that, and how to avoid some of those things, and how to make good choices for their careers based on my experience and what I've seen people do. So that's been, both NCOs and officers, you know, that I've been able to talk to in my organization and also just across the Army in general. So that's been a great part of what I do.
Oh, I love it. Strong women everywhere. Heather, Nicole, do you guys have any thoughts on mentorship and how it's impacted you and how you've given back to the military community as well?
Sure. I'm kind of a mentorship nerd, I guess.
Oh, I love it.
I have my own experiences, but I actually did my PhD dissertation on mentorship with military women. And this was the experiment research that I conducted was around 2009 at Fort Hood when they started the Women in the Army study, where they were going to force fill women into combat arms ranks in anticipation of the gender integration. So there were more women when I showed up to a BCT to do the SIGO job. I'm like, wow, everybody around here is women, and it was by design. So thought that was really interesting, was pursuing research, and came back and found out some interesting things in talking to captains across a division around that time. And there's a huge misconception about mentorship. Do you know it when it hits you? Are you my mentor? Is it? And then at what point did these women feel like they were qualified to mentor others? And so it was interesting research. It'll probably put you to sleep. It'll cure insomnia. The bottom line of friends, mentorship is good. But I think educating the importance of mentorship and keeping professional relationships, you know, having the role models and having the psychosocial support that you need. You never know when you need it. And, you know, the different types of mentorship. So it's been fascinating to study. It's hard to operationalize and to make the time for it. But, you know, being very selective in mentoring and then understanding the difference between coaching and sponsoring and you know, seeking out those organic relationships. So, yeah, it's been fascinating to both study and practice.
Oh, wow. I'm really super impressed right now. A whole dissertation on mentorship, I would have never, like,
don't recommend it. read more articles.
It sounds fascinating to me, so I'm like, can I get a copy of that and read it? So no, I love that. I mean, I think it's very important for us to have mentorship role models. And like you said, knowing the difference between mentoring, coaching, and guiding. I've had some pretty amazing mentors in my public affairs career. And I know Kathy and I have a connection. She worked with my mentor, Gary Dangerfield. Male, you know, it is, but I also have colleagues who were not necessarily mentors, but more like coaches and role models and stuff that have been female. And so I think it's wonderful knowing the difference between the two and recognizing these people within your professional and your personal lives as well, and really pushing forward. Nicole, you have any thoughts on mentorship? And
so I was just going to pick up on what Chrissy and Heather were talking about with the role model piece and seeing other people doing things, because I would say that when I came into the Army 327th Signal Battalion here at what was then Fort Bragg, now Fort Liberty, the one person that stuck out to me was sitting across the table from you, General Sutton, then at the time, First Lieutenant Promotable Sutton, and just seeing her in action, I was like, oh my goodness, she is amazing. And had so much energy and was just getting after it, jump master qualified. And I was like, wow, this is what I'm talking about. And I want to be like that. And just that was what kicked off my career. And just from that day on, just knowing that we as women can, you know, we can be in charge and make things happen and work together as a team and lead. And it was just the best start that I could have ever imagined for my career. So thanks to General Sutton.
Aww. You're so kind, Nicole.
Thank you. General Sutton, what do you have to say in response to these amazing ladies who look up to you as a role model, as a mentor? You know, what do you have to say in feeling like that you've contributed to their careers in the Signal world and just being a woman in the military in general?
So the first thing I'd say is it probably makes me feel old, right, as we talk through this. But I, you know, so Nicole and, you know, our experiences here all those years ago, that would be like 1997, you know, to 99 time frame, you know, where some of the listeners may have, you know, been in elementary school. But like never in my wildest dreams did I think all these years later that I would see the Division G6, the Corps G6, the 35th Signal Brigade, and the ForceCom G6 all being women. Like, how powerful is that? Like, we've come full circle. You know, the installation name has changed, but so much more has changed about our Army. And I think, you know, we have got a lot of women to thank that have come before us, and also men who have treated us like equals and given us those opportunities. But it makes me really proud to be part of an organization that is willing to change and evolve. And while nothing's ever perfect, right? But that's just not the world we lived in back in 97 and 99. But that's the world we're living in
today. And that's the world I want to be part of. And so being with these ladies and having the opportunity to work with them on a daily basis, it's just very empowering. And maybe the only other thing I'd say is I think it's really critically important that we talk about mentorship doesn't just have to be the older person, right? Like, yeah. You know, to be honest, you know, Christy and I had an opportunity to work together, and I learned a lot from her for her experiences in the soft formations and how they think about things differently. And same with Heather. Like, they approach problem solving very differently than maybe I'd been exposed to. And so I really appreciated that. And sometimes I go to Nicole for advice on raising kids, because she's got an amazing young daughter who's in college right now, and just talking about raising kids. And, you know, I often say I can't talk about what it feels like to be a dad in the Army, but I certainly, you know, as I talk about being a mom in the Army and balancing motherhood, I need those people that have been through that. So I love the fact that our relationship extends past the personal, or I mean, the professional side into the personal, and that they can be my mentors too. It just doesn't have to be the old lady, right? You know, as we talk on the installation. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I truly think mentorship and leadership and role models are very important to our young women today. So I want to say thank you to all of you and what you've done. Just the stories that you tell of each other, it's very impressive. Very, very impressive. So, you know, we talk about leadership and whatnot, but has there ever been a time, you know, we talk about being women in the military and how hard it's been. Has there ever been a time that you wanted to get out of the military, or you kind of was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Your career's not going the way you thought it would. But what kept you going? Because obviously you all have been in here 20 plus years. What kept you going on your career path despite challenges?
So I'll say for me,
all of us are like, whoa.
So the question of like family, like your own family, always would come up for me very often, and the feeling of having to choose. And, you know, going back to role models, like you see so many phenomenal women at all ranks who are doing it with their families. And it was a point maybe when I was like a senior major, you know, getting close to that 20-year mark, like, okay, do I have to choose between the two so I can have family? And it's like, but wait a minute, look at all these phenomenal women that are doing it with kids at various ages at different ranks. It's they're doing it and they didn't have to choose. So it'll happen when it's meant to happen. So it doesn't have to be a choice between the two. That's the one thing that's been like that had been the question in my mind of whether I had to, you know, give up the military life as active duty in order to, you know, pursue a family. So it's been good, again, to see people doing it and not having to choose for me.
And I think for me, the hardest thing was family, that really puts you at the crossroads almost, where you're do I continue to do this? And for us, it wasn't the family with the daughter piece as much as it was the constant rotations. And I think if we counted the years, it was like between my husband and I, we were separate states, separate houses for almost up to 8 years, with so many deployments. And it takes a toll and on any family. And that's kind of decision that we had to really make, is like, we always say you're in it to win it, right? Like, so we would, but at some point you have to ask the question, is it worth it? And because we've always loved what we've done, what we do, it was never a real true question of getting out. So it was like, yes, this is really hard, but because you love what you do, you love the people that you work with, the mission is one thing, but what we actually do as a military for our nation, it's just such an overwhelming, yes, this is what I want to continue to do, that you're willing to make that sacrifice. And then when you have those open discussions together and you understand each other and why you're doing it, it made it a lot easier of a decision to keep at it, because it's just a love that you have of what you do every day.
Okay.
I think the realization, so my husband's deployed and he's over hanging out with Chrissy a little bit, but so I've got two teenage kids, and I think sometimes not trying to figure out that balance and asking for help. And I don't think I was good at asking for help early on, and so sometimes things may feel more overwhelming. But I will tell you, like, Kathy has stepped in several times to help me. She lives like a block from me, and she's there, like, my kids love her. But knowing that you have that support network there, you have to be willing to ask for help. But I think we also, this group of women also are willing to step in and offer the help, even when you're being a little bit obstinate about maybe asking for the help. So I think that's, you know, the times that I've thought about it, it's when I felt like just, you know, the kids were too much or something like that. But it was amazing how someone stepped in and said, you need this, and, you know, or I was willing to ask for the help, if that makes sense.
No, and I think so, just like General Sutton was saying, and with the ladies that were also talking about it, is you have to have that balance. You have to sometimes figure out making decisions along the way. Do I have a family? Do I not? Do I want to keep going? And I think with Frank and I, it was always, as long as we're still enjoying ourselves and having fun, and that our kids are not in danger of, you know, they didn't sign up for it, they didn't raise their right hand, you know, they were born into it. So we had to make sure that the family was protected, so to speak, and that our kids still had opportunities and weren't burdened with our choices. So that's kind of how we looked at just both of us serving at the same time and just making sure there's a balance. So that's kind of just my two cents with it. It is just asking about help and kind of knowing when you got to take a break. And then if you choose to make that decision, it's okay to take a break and to say, you know what, I've served my time. There's nothing wrong with doing 20, getting out, doing 25, 30, whatever the case may be. That's okay, especially if one of you has to make a choice. So, but I know we've been talking for a little bit, and Ashley's given us the, hey, we only have so many minutes, but right. I don't want to have this group of professionals that are in the STEM career field without talking about the importance of STEM careers. Obviously, we've got the signaliers, so to speak, but just talking about the importance of STEM careers in our Army, and what you're seeing from soldiers and innovation out in the field that you all are at, the importance what STEM brings to the Army, the department, and just get your thoughts on that, if you don't mind.
Sure. So I appreciate the question. And we've got a whole brigade of, you know, STEM soldiers, and they are extremely innovative. But it's no secret that recruiting and retention in the Army has been a challenge. And one of the things, you know, you mentioned this educational outreach program, and that's been super motivating for the soldiers to go and pay it forward anywhere from K through high school. And we've got partnerships with the JRTC programs in the local area. And, you know, the ability of the soldiers to go and showcase what the Army brings as, you know, a profession, and then with STEM specifically, it does speak to the younger generations, because Wi-Fi is, you know, it's a class of supply, and it's almost like on the hierarchy of needs. And so their ability to be able to do that and to pursue you know, a STEM career field in the Army, and to see young people that are succeeding and able to enjoy and employ all of their talents and skills, it's super meaningful. So we've enjoyed that opportunity, but it is a challenge to make sure that we get the right people in the right jobs and keep them.
Yeah, I'll just add from my lens, like, technology is embedded in so much that we do, all of the functions in the military, not just IT and telecommunications, and experts in STEM areas, you know, can applying their knowledge, their expertise, and then into embedding them into the tactical and operational environments to solve problems that we can do with AI, machine learning. It's obvious that we need that capability. We need their expertise within our formations. We have within the division not only an innovation, a small company that works on innovation, testing the boundaries of the equipment that we have, but also an innovation cell that looks towards solving data problems, not just for the 82nd, but sharing what we learn across the board. And there's no end to solving the problem. It continues because you continue to iterate on technology, continue to find the solutions to the next problem, and then keeping up with industry, keeping up with commercial solutions as well, so that we kind of incentivize, not just monetarily, but incentivize them for the people that just have the passion for STEM and the passion for creating and the passion for improving technology, creating that space for them to accomplish and progress and do the things and then see the outcome of their results. And here in Romania, we're working with partner forces, and it's interesting to see how far we are in relation to what they're doing, and they're looking to us to help them help them understand how we've solved our problems. So being able to share that here has been, you know, one of the fulfilling parts of what we're doing with our partner forces. And I'm in Romania, but we've worked with probably 8 different partner nations just in the last few months on communications problems and technology advancing. So it's always important. And back to the point of exposure, right? Knowing what's out there, doing the research, having access to the information and knowing, okay, I can actually do the thing that I love and serve at the same time is something that, you know, spreading the word through those programs is so important.
That's wonderful. Absolutely. And so knowing the future of STEM careers, because like you said, Chrissy, it's the world that we live in right now, very technologically advanced, and we're constantly moving forward. What advice would you give to a young woman or even a young man that is interested in pursuing a STEM career field in the Army?
Take advantage of the opportunities. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, just from a woman's perspective, like, there's not the problem of different pay for men and women. And, you know, that doesn't happen in the Army, right? We're given all the same opportunities regardless of your gender. And it's really about taking the opportunities, the training, the resources, the experimentation that a lot of our units are doing. You know, it is a great place to be, to learn and grow and hone your field, whether or not it's in, you know, IT or whether or not it's intelligence or, you know, whatever community that you're interested in pursuing, the Army gives them a lot of opportunities. And we're not trying to control that. We're trying to enable that innovation and give young people the opportunities to help solve some very challenging issues that the DoD is experiencing, and so we're empowering them to do that. And that's, I mean, it makes me proud to be not only in the Army, but the Signal Regiment, that we're encouraging that innovation and that experimentation rather than trying to squash it, which I think happens in some other communities.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do any of you guys have any last thoughts before we finish talking up today?
I'd just like to share that, you know, another great thing about what we've talked about with seeing women in leadership roles is being a part of seeing the transformation happen, you know, and understanding all of us have, you know, a perspective of knowing when it was different and seeing how it has changed. That has been like amazing. And then it'll going forward for the people that come, the women that come after us, who may not have, you know, the perspective that we do, but they'll benefit from it. And then they'll go push even further than we've been able to. So that's been exciting and fulfilling for me.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, I just want to say thank you to all 4 of these amazing ladies, Colonel McAteer, Lieutenant Colonel Antoine, Colonel Vinson, and General Sutton. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And on behalf of all of ForceCom and all of us here at ForceCom Frontline, thank you so much for being strong and empowering women. And for those of you who are listening to our podcast today, I hope you cherish what these women have done for the military and for the Signal field, because I'm impressed, and now I need to go talk to my daughter. So again, thank you so much for being here today. And this is ForceCom Frontline. And until next time, take care.
That's it for this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can also find full video episodes of our podcast on YouTube. You can just search for the ForceCom Frontline. and we'll see you next time on the Frontline.